So, Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Andrew's preparation and the time he spent listening to you and seeking the message that you have for us today. So, Lord, I just pray that as he comes now and he stands before us, as he speaks to us, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide his words, guide his thoughts, that you would be his inspiration, Lord, that you would be our inspiration, and that, Lord, we would all hear the message that you want us to know today. Amen.
Amen. Can I just say Happy New Year, everybody?
Happy New Year.
I wonder if you can imagine that you have been waiting months and months to go to a concert to hear a favourite piece of music or a band. You bought the tickets ages ago, maybe even a year ago. And you've been waiting with anticipation for this date. The day has arrived, and you travel to the concert venue. And there's a great atmosphere outside as people gather to queue, to get in, buy their program, leave their coats in the cloakroom, and then find their seats. As you enter the auditorium, the excitement builds as you hear the chatter of other eager concert goers. You can see the stage and maybe a sound system, the lighting rig. There's background music being played. You find your seat. Perhaps you've got yourself an ice cream on the way in. You can have a go at doing that next Saturday if you like as well. Not on the way in, but during the interval. You take your seat, you wait. You have a quick look at the program and check when your favorite piece of music will be played. Your anticipation grows. The lights go down. The musicians come onto the stage and there is silence. The conductor comes onto the stage, but not with a baton, but with a flute. The orchestra stays silent as the conductor starts to play a gentle tune. Not the tune that you came to hear with all its loud and quiet passages, but a tune of grace, of love, of hope, faith, and anticipation. The interesting thing is, some of the tunes sound familiar, but there's a surprise here that you did not expect. And instead of disappointment, you're caught by the beauty, the majesty, and the invitation to dance to a new tune, a second chance, a new way of living and breathing for the rest of your life. God had been speaking to his people centuries before that he would send a Messiah, a savior for his people and for the whole world. The people had been waiting and waiting. Maybe some had lost hope. Maybe some had forgotten about the promises that God had made. And then another child is born, called John, also spoken of by the prophets. This child grows into a man who lives in the wilderness, a man who will never touch wine, a man filled with the Holy Spirit before he is born. A man that we hear about who eats locusts and wild honey. I'm not sure what they taste like, actually. I know what honey tastes like, but I've never eaten locusts. If you have eaten locusts, do tell me after the service. I'd be very interested to know. This man, John, preaches in the wilderness of Judea, the southern part of Israel, telling the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. What do you think people would say if I stood outside the shops in Weedswood, Wayfield, or Waterslade Village and shouted at the top of my voice, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near"? You might think, what a strange thing to do. What does repent mean? And what does it mean that the kingdom of God is near? How does that relate to me and my life? Well, I can tell you that before I came to faith, if I saw someone doing that, I would have crossed to the other side of the road. And again, if I saw a Christian probably doing that today, I'd probably do the same thing. So how come we read about a man who does something that none of us would dare to do today? This man was special. He had a special role to play in God's plan for humanity. John was a herald, a messenger inviting people to hear an old message in a new way, a symphony reinterpreted for a new generation, ushering in a new work of the Lord. One question that I ask about this text that we've heard today is, if this John the Baptist was so strange, why did people go out to see him? First of all, John is fearless. He had only one call on his life, to prepare the way for the Lord and to call others to make a straight paths in their lives so that nothing could get in the way of the new thing that God was going to do. Second, John was filled with the Holy Spirit and he had a charisma that people were magnetized by. Not just the ordinary Israelites, but the religious elites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came out to see what all the fuss was about. And John does not mince his words with them. He calls them a brood of vipers. Now, imagine again how popular I would be if I turned up at a meeting like the Diocesan Synod, where the laity, the clergy, the bishops and the archdeacons come together to discuss and vote on important things. Imagine if I cried out to the bishops and the archdeacons, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance?" I'm not sure my place on that diocesan synod would last very long. But John knows that the religious elite did not have their hearts fully given over to their God. They had a confidence in their ancestry. They thought they were special because they could trace their roots back to the great patriarch Abraham, whom God had made the most amazing covenant with. John wanted to see fruit. He wanted to see that the religious elite really loved God and his people. He wanted to see evidence in their lives, not just a bunch of men who tell others how to live a holy life, but a bunch who are holy and loving towards God and his people. John warns the Pharisees and the Sadducees that if they don't change, God will move on his blessing onto a new people. In fact, he says, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Now, I don't think John was really meaning that God would turn stones into a worshiping community. No, I don't think he's talking about that. Because he is using Jewish humor to make a point, something that Jesus did a lot of in his ministry. Now, if there was one thing the people of Israel knew all about, it was sin and repentance. Turning away from sin, the things that God had commanded them not to do. They know that going against God's laws and commandments would separate them from his love and presence, which had happened over the centuries to their ancestors. For centuries, God's people had their sins forgiven by offering sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem to atone for their sin. The people of God had to go through a ritual, and God would forgive them if they did the right thing. That was the old symphony, But God wanted to write a new tune and dance for his people. God wanted his people to be anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they could go into the world and tell others about him. But in order to do this, God needed to send his one and only begotten Son, so that all those who would believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So John came with a sign of a new start, that new beginning for God's people and the whole of humanity, and that was baptism. John expects that he will be baptized by the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sin of the world. But no, Jesus must be baptized by John to show that he is fully human and that he will relate to humanity, and that he needs to be anointed by God the Father with the Holy Spirit, like every believer who will come and follow Christ in the future. So Jesus gets to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, the same river that the people of Israel had crossed as Joshua and Caleb had led them into the promised land all those centuries before. To be honest with you, it never struck me before that baptism is like entering in to the promised land. As Jesus comes out of the water, we hear that heaven opens and the Spirit of God descends like a dove upon him. And then the people hear a voice from heaven say, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." At this moment, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed and launched into bringing the kingdom of God close to those who would be open to receive. Jesus is also affirmed by his Father in heaven. The Trinity is ready for this new ministry, this new symphony, the Father in heaven, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us know that baptism is a crucial stepping stone for any follower of Jesus. But I remember reading years ago a comment by a man called Gordon Kurt, who said, "It is the baptized life that is crucial on the faith journey, not just the baptismal event, but the baptized life." I could not think of a better reading to have at the beginning of 2024. What does this year hold for us as a church? What does this year hold for us as individuals in our walk with God? What is your hope and your prayer for how God will use you this year? Our vision as a church is to encounter God and to grow in our faith so that we might go with the good news. In our reading today, we see Jesus encounter God as he goes under the water. "Rise up and be anointed with the Holy Spirit." We see Jesus grow as the Father affirms him, telling him he is loved and that he is well pleased with him. Before this moment, Jesus had been waiting for his kingdom ministry to start. After his baptism, he was ready to go. Are we ready to go in 2024? The Methodist Church has a great prayer of preparation called the Methodist Covenant Prayer, and it goes like this: "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with who you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. and now glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. There are some very tough statements in that prayer. And I invite all those who would like to join me in saying that prayer again, to say that prayer together. So could we have the words up on the screen? If you feel that you can join in this prayer, want, you're longing for these things yourself, please join me as we pray this prayer together as a church. And do join us online if you're with us today. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. What is God calling you to continue in 2024? What might he be asking you to lay down this year? What might he be asking you to take up? Let's take a moment to listen to the Holy Spirit now. Let's be quiet and just wait on the Holy Spirit together. Come, Holy Spirit, just like you did on that incredible day of Jesus' baptism, when you came, Spirit, like a dove upon Jesus, come upon each and every one of us now. Speak those words of affirmation to each of us, that we are loved by you and that you are pleased with each and every one of us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon each and every one of us. Has God put something on your heart that you've not acted on? You know, deep inside you, there's God reminds you about something that he's put on your heart or that he's called you to do, and you haven't stepped out yet. You haven't started what he's called you to do. Maybe it's not been the right season, and God is saying, now is the season. Maybe you need to test what God has been saying to you or calling you to do. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to encounter more of God this year. Maybe you want to grow more in your faith. Maybe you want an opportunity to go and be used by him. Come, Holy Spirit.